welcome back to We Knows Parenting. I'm Peter McNerney.
I'm Beth Newell.
And here we are again, still parents.
Still, your tone is so annoyed.
Annoyed? Oh God.
Still doing it.
It's funny because I think things are going in parenting world. I think feel great. Like things are really good right now. Like yeah. Obviously annoying things happen, but I feel in control of our lives. Oh my God. I just remembered. When did this happen? We went out to dinner, the four of us, to a real restaurant.
A real one.
A real one.
Certified.
And nobody ran away from the table. Nobody threw any silverware. Nobody screamed. Well, somebody, actually, there was screaming, but it was joyful screaming.
Yeah, that's pretty insane. I had last night the first solo bedtime that, like, went pretty smoothly. Like as usual, it's a struggle to get Bryn to come into the bedroom to go to bed, and neither of them really wants to. But the reading portion of the night, the story time, didn't last insanely long. Bryn didn't run out of the room a million times. I want to say they were in bed by like 8, which is really good.
That is very good. Oh my gosh, what is this podcast going to be when we don't have things to complain about?
Oh, I'll come up with some.
Yeah, I actually took them twice. I guess it was Wednesday. I picked them up from school, and we got to the corner, and Bryn saw Smashburger, and he goes, "Smashburger." And I very impulsively said, "You want to go? Let's go." And I took the two of them by myself to Smashburger.
The thing you said you'd never do in a previous episode.
Yeah, I think this was episode one, the first three episodes. I said I would never. I re-listened to that episode, and it made it sound like I would never take my kids anywhere, which is not true, and it's certainly not now. Like, this was what? That episode was 11, 12 weeks ago, and I took them to Smashburger by myself. And just before we got out of the car, I was like, I will take you to Smashburger, Bryn, if you promise to not leave your seat. Guess what he did? He didn't leave his seat.
That's incredible. If you listen to this podcast, it sounds like our lives revolve around Smashburger. But
I mean, it could be less Smashburger centric.
It is one of the most family friendly eateries in town.
That's true. I don't love it.
Well, it strikes a balance between like being fast food and being very fast, but being a slightly healthier version of fast food.
I mean, it's fast food.
You can get like a bean burger or a salad.
It's true. They do have some veggie options.
And you can get like sweet potato fries or veggie frites, which are fried string beans and carrots.
It's true.
So there's options.
I guess did it start raining just now?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. It's been raining all week. And here's a tangent. Here's my hot take on weather. Ready for this? I hate the heat, and I hate being in the rain and still sweating. I'm sure I'm the only person who's ever thought of this ever.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, right? I could tell you more about weather patterns. Anyway, okay. We went to Smashburger, and it was great, and then I took them to get a little dessert at the frozen yogurt place next door, and it all went great.
Big news of the week is that Bryn stayed home sick yesterday and today.
Yeah.
Not very sick. And he...
Not like the days where we are plagued with illnesses for months.
But the true triumph is that we didn't try to bring him to school. We just kept him home.
Oh, yeah. We didn't... I think releasing this podcast, admitting that we sent our kid to school knowing he was sick to thousands of people, really shamed me into being a better parent.
Yeah.
I mean, also daycare, sending him back twice.
Well, it's also like we have gotten more sleep in the last couple of months compared to the winter, so the idea of him staying home doesn't send me into a panic.
I mean, he's home right... By the way, he's home right now.
He's still
We're
home.
We're recording this. He's in the other room watching TV because the boy can watch TV all day long.
He really loves TV, like you.
Yeah. When I was little, that was my babysitter. My other brothers, they get bored. Like, no, I was locked in. But he's in the other room. I'm sort of hoping he'll come out and interrupt to see what happens.
He probably will.
Yeah.
We did start trying to record this about 10 minutes ago, and then he fell off of a piece of furniture right over there, and then caught his finger in something and started crying, and so we delayed.
He has a Cubs Band-Aid. Go Cubs. And now he's watching Super Wings in our bed. I went in there, and he goes, "Could you go away, Daddy?" He's been saying that. He goes, "I'm watching Super Wings. Could you go away, Daddy?" I'm like, all right.
Wow, that's kind of how I feel when I'm trying to watch TV and you're talking to me.
Yeah. Boy, you do not tolerate. Okay, we've talked about this before, but we got a new TV. We got a very cheap TV for Prime Day because the one in the bedroom broke. But these are our little private kingdoms. The bedroom is your room. And the living room is my room. And I'm okay with that because I have a humongous TV.
And I you don't want care. A big TV. I'd rather be laying down.
That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, but you love to come in the room regardless of what I'm doing and just not stop talking.
See, I like you. This is the problem. Is that I like to be around you. And boy, this leads into what I want to talk about.
Okay.
Before we get into that, I just want to recognize that next week we're going out of town. It is Newell Family Reunion Week up in Vermont.
Yeah.
Which means, of course, I immediately got a bunch of emails about auditions next week, which I can't go to.
It's a big week. Family vacations are very fun and also very stressful.
Yeah, for you.
Whatever chair I'm using right now is like the noisiest chair. It like I move slightly and it's like so creaky.
Well, stay frozen and don't move for an hour.
So the thing about family vacations, I think we've mentioned, is that there is what they refer to in psychology as a dissolution of responsibility, which is that everyone assumes when there's a large group of people that other people are taking care of things. Mm-hmm. And so they just don't assume responsibility for things. So when you have young children that are running off in different directions, trying to get into the street or fall off of things, no one is watching them.
I am certainly guilty of what you are describing.
So it gives the illusion of having extra help while at the same time making things much more stressful because you're in a new location that is not childproof at all.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing is, I mean, especially when the kids were younger, and this was a bigger deal. We've already talked about this going up to Massachusetts. Like, I've been up there twice recently, and it's so much easier because they're not going to murder themselves on quite as many things.
Well, I'll also say there was a big event that happened that leads me to believe that there is a God, because the house we've been staying at for these family reunions the last couple of years is a death trap for children. And it has, like, windows that go to the floor that are just screens, and this is on, like, the third floor, so your kid could lean against a window and fall down three flights. There's also
Stephen Kingian vibe
also
to it.
A house that is above a lake on a cliff face.
And the water is full of razor clams.
Yeah.
And the clams. 10 of us cut our feet on.
We all cut our feet. It's really nice to have like a huge, gaping wound in your foot for your entire vacation. There's also like, just there's like a big rock wall that like kids obviously want to climb up on and get on and walk along that leads to a steep drop of three flights
now,
onto the rocks.
I keep noticing that you keep saying there is, because much of this now there isn't.
So what happened, my family reserved this house yet again for this summer vacation, and I can't complain because as they constantly tell me, this is the only house in like a 100-mile radius that fits enough people for us to have a family
reunion.
Yeah,
Beth has 98 people in her family that come every summer.
So in June, we find out a month before this vacation that the house is burned down, fully to the ground.
Burned to the ground
and
gone.
I feel bad for the owners. Everyone was very sad.
No one was there. No one was injured.
No
it
one was
empty.
Injured. It's a very old house. I feel it's like a historical house. It's very nice.
Yeah.
I feel bad, but I also feel
good.
Good. So that's my cruel take on that. Everyone was very upset. So my family had to go find another house a little bit further away from where my grandmother lives in Vermont. And it's so much more kid friendly.
Is it?
It's like,
I mean, you looked, I assume you
it's not on Lake Champlain. It's on a smaller lake, which means probably no razor clams, which is amazing.
Shoot.
It's also not on a cliff. So you just kind of like walk down the lawn or path or whatever.
There's like a ton of grass though, right?
I think so. There's a ton of grass. There's a huge playroom with games and things.
I want games.
You got to look at this list.
I
want
to play.
It's like, there's like a crypt. There's just, I guess there was a crypt in the old place, but.
It sounded like you said crypt.
Crypt.
That was a real curveball. There's a playroom. There's the crypt.
Anyway, it looks so much better.
You seem more relaxed. I think this is going to be the most relaxed family vacation you've ever had while
a parent. Well, because 2 years ago we went and Maven was 3 months old, I want to say.
We were exhausted.
We were so exhausted. It was like you don't even want to be on vacation. It's just like additional stress.
That was the big thing where it's at least at home we'd finally sort of baby-proofed it as much as we could. And this was just too much space.
Well, and Maven was just like a constant demand. She's still so young. So then last year, our kids are a little bit older, but Maven was still like terrified of everyone in my family. She was still pretty young. Yeah. And they both hated being in the car. And this is like a 7-6 hour drive.
Yeah.
So that was miserable.
And this year is going to be a piece of cake.
This year is so much better. I think also, like, the dock situation at the old place we were staying at was, like, again, like, on the rocks. And, like, kids couldn't really get into the water easily. Yeah. It was just so annoying. And
somebody has joined our recording. It's Bryn McNerney. Bryn, would you like to join us for a second? No? Are you running away? You're directly behind me. Hiding from... From whom are you hiding, Bryn?
I guess he's just going to listen and we'll see when he decides to pipe up, which he definitely will.
He'll get comfortable and become a star of the podcast.
Okay. So...
That's the week ahead and I'm very excited.
Yeah, it should be a lot easier.
Bryn, what do you think?
Bryn
agrees.
This is our kids' new love of screaming.
They scream and they're excited. They scream defiantly.
They scream at each other. When they're angry,
when they're happy. And it's the most piercing, horrific, short burst. Anyway.
Bryn, do you want to come over here and tell us why you like to scream?
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Maybe we'll hear from you later. All right. All right. Now it's time for We Don't Knows. This is where we talk about perplexing things and parenting in our lives. And you know what? This is a bit of a stretch, this title, for what we're going to talk about. Bryn is still here. He is screaming. But we're going to talk about it while he laughs.
Just the...
Guys, we're going on vacation, and we burned through all of our episodes. So we literally have to record now. So whatever he does, he does.
Yeah. You're just going to make sounds? Okay.
Okay, he heard us talking about screaming, and that's what he's going to do now. So you can join up here if you want, Bryn. Otherwise, we're going to talk about love languages. Okay, so... This is a very popular, very pop culture, very in thing right now. So this guy...
Very in thing?
It's a very in thing.
I feel like love languages peaked in like the 90s. I'm
okay. Well, it peaked for me because I heard about it this year.
Very in with Peter McNerney now. Okay, very popular.
I want to disclaim this up top because I know my brother is going to listen. And he's a behavioral science writer and he... despises things like pseudoscience,
like random categorizations of people.
Yeah, like Myers-Briggs. Mm-hmm. He's just like, you know how flawed those things are? Yes, I do. This is not an exact science.
I will say, like, this science debate is like, sometimes it's helpful to have language to describe things, and no, it's not going to be an exact science when you're talking about, like...
Totally.
No, it's
this is the type of thing. This is actually how, because I get obnoxious about, you know, astrology and zodiac signs and that
but
sort of stuff.
But this is your astrology.
Exactly. 100%.
Okay. Bryn, touch
Bryn
this
is
blanket.
Literally taking apart my sound system, sound insulation.
Do you want to sit with me and talk into the microphone?
Okay, great. Keep doing what you're doing, buddy.
Okay, so love languages... I believe this categorization was pioneered by Christian people.
Okay, so here's another disclaimer. This author, this guy, I don't know if he's a part of this, but he was heavily supported by Focus on the Family, which is this big Christian-based...
But I think he was like a couples therapist that was very Christian.
Yes. Anyway, he's not... So Focus on the Family is notorious for one thing. Mike Pence, a big supporter. But they were all into like conversion therapy for gay people.
Yeah, they're
evil,
bad
stuff. I almost swore, but my son is staring at me. You're making this very awkward, my man.
So, okay, so these categorizations of love languages, the idea is that most people have a predominant love language or a couple different love languages, mm-hmm. and the categories are...
I have them right here. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Words of affirmation.
That's when you like people to say nice things to you or about you.
Acts of service.
That's when you like people to do things for you.
Receiving gifts.
That's where you like giving and receiving gifts.
Cool. And all of these are, this is how you tell people you love them, and this is how you like to be told that they love you.
Yeah, this is how you experience affection.
Yes. Quality time.
And that's spending time with each other.
That's like what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
And physical touch.
Physical touch.
Okay, so I want you to, we've done this before, but it's been a little while. I want you to rank those five in your head from your predominant love language from one down to five, and I'm going to do mine.
Okay, I've already kind of forgotten them all, but I know that I like...
I could guess what yours are.
I would say physical touch is way up there for me.
Yeah.
And acts of service.
Yeah.
And...
I would put you... Tell me if this is right or wrong to you. This is what I would put you as. You tell me what you think I am, I'll tell you what you think you are.
Okay.
All right, I think your number one is acts of service. When you go into a room and you realize that I thought about you 2 days ago and I have done things to prepare to make your life easier thinking ahead, that's when you feel most seen and appreciated and loved.
I guess so, but I also just think that's just like a practical concern of like you want to open the fridge and have milk be there. Like I don't.
Well, that seems obvious for you.
I just don't know if it's like I feel affection from that. I just think like, that's what people should be looking out for, not just me.
Okay, we need to pause because Bryn just walked in, and during that whole thing, he was tapping me on the shoulder, holding a full carton of milk, and just pointing enthusiastically at it and then to himself.
Bryn's love language is milk.
Bryn, come here. Do you want some milk? All right, come here. All right, I want to ask you some questions, and then you'll get some milk, okay?
Okay.
How do you say when you see mommy and you think, oh, I love mommy, how do you tell mommy that you love her? What do you do to be nice to mommy?
You get milk.
Okay, this is my son. All right, we're gonna take a tiny pause to get milk. Okay, a little update on what has just happened. So many things have happened since I took Bryn. Bryn is back. Say hi, Bryn. Okay, don't. All right, I took Bryn back into the bedroom to watch Super Wings to get him out of our hair. And then we came back and started recording. And we recorded for another 25 minutes before I realized that I was only recording me and not Beth. And it was so frustrating because it was
kind of
really
like
interesting.
A real metaphor for what we were talking about.
Oh my gosh, if you guys had heard what we're talking about. But you know what?
25 minutes of the best podcast recordings we've ever done.
We figured ourselves out and everyone else, and we do not have it in us to rehash what we talked about. So we're going to shelve the topic. But this is perfect sort of metaphor for where we are right now, which is things are really good, but it's like there's only so much time in the day. And the second everything goes wrong, like we have no extra time.
Hey, Bryn, can you tell us about your monster socks?
And in all that time, Bryn was being very good in the other room. And as soon as the recording got messed up, he came out. So he's going to join us for the rest of
this. Yeah, although we turned off the AC to record, and so now it's about 100 degrees in this room.
I'm fully sweating.
And we now have half an episode to still record.
Yeah, it's going to be, guys, we're going to pull this episode. We're in a dive bomb right now, and we're pulling this plane up, and we are going to soar high. We're going to do it by ending this haphazard, bizarre segment We, and you know what this segment is called, Beth?
What?
We don't knows. We don't knows. So we learned nothing in this segment, and we're going to move on because I actually have some things to talk about. Mm, gosh. My love language is you.
This next segment is called Did You Knows? This is where Peter shares a parenting-related fact.
Oh, I got a fact, because that's the point. Here we go. Did You Knows? Bryn, are you excited? He's got a barrel of monkeys he's playing with over there. Good work, my friend. All right, so scientific evidence shows that children not only have a stronger preference for sugar than adults, but that sweet tooth is hardwired on day one. This is another of those, like, sort of, yeah, no shit facts, but I thought it was really interesting.
I think that actually the same goes for women versus men. Look, women.
Daddy, look. Oh, a barrel of monkeys? Oh my gosh, these monkeys are all holding each other's hands. That's crazy. Thanks, monkey. All right. Uh-oh. Anyway, Bryn, do you like sugar?
Yes.
Do you like Fruit Loops?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you like sugar so much?
I don't know.
You don't know? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because you're still growing, okay? So newborns can detect sweet and will actually prefer sweeter solutions than less sweet ones.
Well, this is why in breast milk you have the foremilk and the hind milk. And the foremilk is the milk that comes out of your boob first. Oh. And then the longer the baby is sucking on your breast, it triggers a letdown, which means more milk comes out. And the second milk is the hind milk. Sorry, that's just my monkey.
Yeah, when is the monkey going to move out of here? He's been on the couch for, like, weeks now. Hey, monkey, come here. Do you like, all right, see? He doesn't perform anymore.
So the hind milk is fattier, yeah. And obviously that's, you know, better for the baby long term. But the foremilk is sweeter because that encourages the baby to stick around and be interested in the boob in the first place.
Well, unlike adults who often find overly sugary things unpleasant, kids are actually living in a different sensory world altogether. Adults, when it comes to basic tastes... Bryn, you're killing us, buddy! We're trying to record and you're just being a monkey! You know what? It's because your bones are still growing. That's the theory of this study, is that until... It's around 15 or 16 that kids' tastes start to even out. Because little kids love sweet, intensely sweet, and salty things, and they don't like bitter tastes.
Right.
But when your bones stop growing, that is when you actually start to develop tastes like adults. Like adults, they said, the sweetness of like a soda is like an adult's preference, but kids do not have a limit for how sweet a drink could be. Literally to the point where when you dissolve sugar in water, to the point where it is super saturated. Saturated.
When you were a kid, did you ever just get like a spoonful of sugar out of the cupboard and eat that?
I mean, I put it on all cereal.
Also, we would like, you know, you could make Nestle Quick chocolate milk and you would be like heaping spoonful after spoonful into the milk, like if your parents weren't in the room.
It was never too much. No. I was big into the candy that was just sugar, like over chocolate. Skittles, Starburst, that just, I could never have it. Halloween.
I think this is what's frustrating about modern society is like all of these traits that would have historically, you know, made us better able to survive are now working against us because sugar is so plentiful.
That's a big theory in this that, you know, the cave babies, they're looking over those highly caloric things because they need to grow. They need a lot.
Right. Like if you were searching out berries, like even if you search all day, you're only getting like a quart of berries. Maybe. Yeah. It's like.
And you know what? The berries back then? Not good. Strawberries?
How do you know they weren't good?
Because I read a thing about like all the fruits and vegetables that we eat, we made them that way.
No, but we didn't make them sweeter necessarily. They actually
we made them bigger and sweeter and crazy.
No, but in a lot of cases we mostly just made them bigger and more like visually attractive. We didn't necessarily make them sweeter because if you go to like if you pick like wild berries,
But we made those wild berries that way. Hunter-gatherers are a huge, like, I read a whole thing about strawberries, which were not, like, a very appetizing thing. And hunter-gatherers had a huge asset. So Brain is now taking the barrel of monkeys and smashing it on the table over and over, because he is a crazy monkey, right, Brain? Okay, good. He agrees.
Did you know corn evolved, like, people farmed it out of, like, they slowly evolved it over years, like, thousands of years to be what it is now, but it was, like, a tiny seed?
Yeah. That's a lot of the things we eat were just, like, a little bit of a thing, and then just through...
It's just, like, hard to imagine.
Yeah.
I don't know. Thanks, guys, for doing that for us.
You know what? Honestly, thank you. Honestly, strawberries are great.
Thank you.
Oh, boy. I thought you were going to say, like, corn and, like, potatoes have tons and tons of variations. Like, potatoes, there's so many different kinds of potatoes.
But, that's what you thought I was going to say?
Yeah. I thought you were going to talk about... I thought you were leading to the Great Potato Famine. Because they took one kind and spread it all over Europe.
There's one fact that I always... I find fascinating, which is that in like the 1920s, there used to be this species of bananas that tasted. Sorry, that's my parrot.
Sorry, my parrot's over here too.
There was a species of banana that was like the most popular species, and and anyway,
Brynn is running back and forth to Beth and back to me. To just do this scream that we were foolish enough to talk about when he first walked in.
So we used to import this species of banana. And yeah. Because
Bryn believes in words of affirmation.
Okay. Well, now you're just both interrupting me.
Come here! Someone's got to get you! Tiny kind of banana. We should have ignored it. Now we have no chance at all.
I was ignoring it. You're the one that is yelling at him.
I know.
Anyway, people used to say that this was like the best tasting banana ever, and it was so much better than our current bananas, and then the whole species went extinct. So we'll never get to taste these amazing bananas.
I love watching food shows. And just those shows like this where they go to like a field and they're like, look at this plant. This only grows on the fjords. It's a tiny weed. Break it. Taste this. And then they make an incredible dish out of just like what is fresh and what is near. And I always walk away from those and I'm like, I got to go to a farmer's market and buy a fresh thing and learn how to... Are you trying to get me to drink this barrel of monkeys? It's food?
Just eat the monkeys.
Oh, just eat. Okay. Oh. Bryn, I think your monkeys have turned.
Oh, now he's eating the monkeys.
You like them. What do you think? Are they good? Oh, he barfed. Well, don't blame me. Blame the chef. But I will never do that. I will never go to a farm stand and find some special produce to make something out of it.
Yeah, you don't like to make... effort for food.
I love cooking,
but you don't like to go get the food.
That's exactly. I want it here, and then I will make a big amazing dinner. But figuring out what I need and going to get that stuff, and it's all that like I love Blue Apron, and I know that's like sort of it's a little trite in some
trite.
I just like I go back and forth on that where I'm like, yeah, this is exactly what I want. Tell me what to do when I want to do it. But then. It's like Google Maps. You just use Google Maps all the time, and then you don't actually learn where you're going or where you are. I need to do more of that and then make up my own
things. The thing that like I find frustrating is that you want to follow every recipe to the letter.
Yeah.
And you don't understand how to work around things if you don't have every single spice. Whereas I will happily just like leave half those things out and it's still a pretty good meal, or you can like make adjustments based.
Well, what I'll say is like you get so on my case about following the directions, but then when I try something and it doesn't work out, you're like, why the hell did you do this? And so it feels a little lose-lose.
Hey, it's me!
Bryn's here.
Oh my gosh, Bryn, when did you get here?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
So do you want to talk into the microphone?
Yeah.
I'm here when I was here.
Oh, are you doing baby voice?
Yes.
Why are you doing baby voice?
I don't know.
It's like he knows there's another person in the room.
He does baby voice when it's like a weird, shy, but performative thing. Where he's like, I can see you looking at me. Yeah, 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 yeah. Right, Bryn?
Yes.
Come here.
Can you talk like a big boy?
No.
Okay.
Anyway.
I used to put sugar on fruit. I remember making a bowl of cut up strawberries, and I take a spoonful of sugar and put it on top.
Lots of people do that. That's how you make like a fruit topping.
It's so good, but like now it seems insane, like overkill.
Why do you?
I guess that is like
a
fruit pie.
Fruit pie.
Fruit pie.
He's right. Who says fruit pie?
Well, a pie made of fruit. Apple pie. Blueberry pie.
Apple pie. Blueberry pie. What's
the joke? Bryn, do you know any jokes?
Yes.
All right, tell me. Come here, tell me a joke. Okay.
Knock, knock.
All right. Tell me a joke.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Monkey.
Monkey who?
Monkey.
I get it. It's like a post humor thing, right? Mm-hmm. Cool. Bryn, are you sick home today?
Yes.
He's not sick at all.
I will say this morning I was about to take Maven and I was like, are you fine? You're not sick. Should you go? And he did exactly that. He goes, no, I'm sick. Bryn, I think that's a fake cough.
Starting at 6 a.m. this morning, he woke me up like 6 times, and every time I was like just starting to fall back asleep, and then he would come in and he kept waving the medicine, the kids Tylenol in my face, wanting it. He like no longer has a fever.
You love the medicine, Bryn?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yes, I like it.
It tastes good. You know why?
Why?
Because it's sweet. Because children love sugar. You have nothing to say to that?
We both get medicine when they're sick. So that's why I'm sick again.
He's so sick. He needs that sugar.
Oh my gosh, he's so sick.
Bryn, what's your favorite food?
You mean the food that you get sick from?
Yeah, what food do you get sick from?
Medicine.
Medicine? Okay.
Okay, well.
So I need that because I'm sick again.
Oh my gosh,
he sounds so sick.
This recording is a disaster. I just want you to know that the title of this episode is called Chaos. And this has been...
Why are you not coming?
Where do you want me to come?
To the kitchen.
For what?
All right, you got to talk like a big boy if you want us to come to the kitchen. You got to come here and in the microphone talk like a big boy and say that you want us to come to the kitchen.
No baby voice.
Do it.
Mm-mm.
All you have to say is, "Daddy, come to the kitchen."
Mm-mm.
Okay, so you don't want us to come to the kitchen?
No, I said, "Mommy, to come to the kitchen."
What do you want? A snack?
No, I only want you to come.
You're not getting medicine.
Yeah.
You're trying to get Mommy to give you medicine? Are you trying to act sick now? Oh, he just flopped down on the couch.
He's sad.
Oh, I've made my son cry. And this has been Did You Knows? So I'm back. I don't know if you can hear, but I made Bryn cry. And I don't know exactly why. I think because he could tell we were making fun of him. And now you all listen to us mock our son. And I'm going to keep this in the episode because no secrets here. We're going to let him recover and we're going to come back. We're going to turn to this, our most disastrous episode. of We Knows Parenting. All right, Bryn.
What?
You're back.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Good.
So mommy's here. Are you excited that mommy's home?
Yes.
Tell me about mommy.
I like you, but not you.
This is the second time you have insulted me on the podcast. Do you think it's funny to say that you don't like me?
Yeah.
What do you like about me?
I like you about talking about mommy.
You like it when I talk about mommy?
Yeah, and then
talking
I like
to the mic. Talking to the mic. Put your face in front of the microphone right there.
Okay. Whoa,
don't pull it down. Don't pull it down. Okay, we're back. Okay. This our most disastrous episode of all time. Beth, what just happened?
What just happened is Bryn tried to get on the mic, but then was just throwing a tantrum. And I just went to get him some milk to calm him down. We're out of milk because he's burning through it. And so I made one of my half and half plus water concoctions.
A little bit of milk, a little bit of half and half, a little bit of water, 100% disgusting.
Yeah, for some reason, when I'm trying to prevent a meltdown with our kids by making this concoction that tricks them into thinking they're getting milk, you like to try to spoil the illusion and tell them that it's not milk.
Have I done that before?
Yes, you have.
You noticed that I didn't do that just now.
You kind of did.
Did I? Boy, I don't hear what I say.
Okay. And then he took the whole box of crackers, pulled the bag of crackers out of the box, saw one cracker at the bottom of the box that had escaped the bag, and he said, "Look, a runaway cracker." So he's lucky that he's cute.
Yeah. Well, we're letting him eat the entire bag of crackers so that he stays in our room and watches Super Wings so we can finish this shit show of an episode. I'm enjoying it. This might be our best work ever. Or it might be a complete garbage mess of reality. But you know what? This is parenting. This is real, friendos. You got to get work done and your son is sick at home. And you don't have any other time to do this because you got to go on family vacation.
I always feel like we're walking a very fine line of trying to accurately represent parenting while not trying to make people feel like they're reliving the stress of their lives as parents.
We're keeping it light and we're keeping it real.
Just know we're trying to edit out the dark parts.
We're not trying that hard.
I mean the boring parts, like
the monotony we edit out. You're welcome. Now it's time for Would You Knows? Oh boy, oh boy. Beth, are you ready?
I'm ready.
So this one has some blanks in it. So I want to introduce some new rules for this. You're allowed to ask me questions about the scenario, and I will define it based on my own imagination.
This is a listener invented.
This is a listener. This comes to us from Riley, who is not a parent. We've gotten a few reviews and emails from folks that are not parents and younger. And I asked them, I'm like, thank you so much for listening. Why the hell are you listening to this? How did you come to be here?
Some people I get it, though. Like, if I was like a 20-something, like, who's thinking about someday having kids, I think I would find this much more enlightening than I currently do as a parent. Like, I'd be like, yeah, I get it. That's
although
life.
One of our listeners last week has 23-year-old kids.
Yeah.
Anyway, this comes from us. It comes to us from Riley, who is one of those younger folks. I asked him, why are you listening to this? He has a young niece.
Did he
and
answer?
He heard an ad for the show.
Oh.
He sounds like a podcast guy. And our friend, Riley.
If there's one thing that unifies our listeners, it's that they listen to podcasts.
There is one defined, like the middle of our Venn diagram, baby, podcast accessibility. That's what's unique about our show.
Yeah.
So Riley says, you suddenly receive a visit from one of your children who used a time machine to travel from the future. And he is now as old as you, he or she. He or she came all the way back to the past just to tell you that you need to change your parenting style because for whatever reason, it's not good enough. Do you accept your now grown child's advice or reject it?
I want to say I would accept it, but I mean...
I mean, there's some important questions that need to be answered.
Think of the times that we would imply in any way that our parents have done anything wrong, and they flat out reject it. So I don't know. I don't know.
Well, yeah. I mean, to me, it's, well, what is the criticism?
I know, Riley. What is the criticism?
Okay, here's one that's, those be hard for you. Okay, so... I don't know if this is a callback because half of this episode wasn't recorded properly, so we might be talking about something that was recorded you didn't hear. But anyway, so Bryn comes back. Let's say Bryn comes back and goes, because of me, the apocalypse happened. I killed everyone, the whole world. And if you had just given me more words of affirmation, if you had complimented me more and said nice things, it's never would have happened.
I would work on that. I would do that. I just think, like, it really depends on the complaint, because it's like, is our child in the future just like they had access to a time machine and then they're like, they just have some random grievances? Because, like, the grass is always greener if your parents worked a lot.
Well, did you hear my scenario? He murdered everyone and he realized he was alone on Earth and he had a time machine.
Oh, I missed
machine.
The murdering part.
Oh, you didn't hear
it? He's alone on Earth?
This is my scenario. In one where...
So you're just adding to Riley? Okay.
Well, to me, I can't answer that question unless
Let me go back to Riley's original question. If it's like... If the criticism is like, you shouldn't have had a job or something that's like a fulfilling part of my life, then no, I don't think I'm going to like... Like, maybe I'll try to work less, but I'm not going to stop doing that.
Yeah. It's also going to be hard to go, wait, so this A equals B? Like, because I did this, this thing happened to you?
I just don't necessarily trust that our future kids have, like, 100% figured out what we did wrong.
Yeah, I mean, this is fun for this exercise, but it's totally futile to try to be like, what could I have done differently? Well, who cares? It happened. You are who you are.
My mom group, we talked.
I just dismissed so much therapy for people. Yeah. It is helpful to understand these things.
Can I talk?
Yeah.
My mom group, we joke a lot about baby boomers and the stuff that they do wrong because there's like some common patterns and it's funny. But in general, I think people's like big complaints about their parents are like pretty concrete like traumas or like their parents like putting them down a lot or like just stuff that's like really obvious. So I think if our kids came back in time when we're like, don't do that, I would be like, yeah, I shouldn't have lost my temper at your recital or whatever. But I think those are all things I'm already trying not to do.
That sounds like something you're definitely going to do. You just lost your shit at a recital. And you started
I'm just
a
saying,
fight.
I like, these are things like being emotionally available to our children is something I think we're like already trying to do. So.
Riley, we're doing great. You know what? It wasn't our fault, whatever
it was.
What
did we do, Riley?
It's really hard and we can't get vague. You should never in a fight speak in generalities. Oh, you always do this. Tell me exactly one thing I did and how it made you feel.
What are you mad about, Riley?
Gosh, you know what? I take it back. You're the worst, Riley. I'm just kidding. I don't even like... I hate joke being mean. I have no complaints about my parents. My parents are perfect. I mean, they're not. Nobody is. But I think it's... I have such a oversized ego... Where I think I'm great. So.
Yeah, but like you, you had like a very charmed childhood.
Yeah. Well, I have nothing to complain about.
Okay.
I'm spoiled. We've been over this.
I think most things our parents do wrong is like not really their fault. It's just the product of the circumstances that they were raised
in. Oh, yeah. And that's what I think is far more circumstance than it is, unless you have like major behavioral issues. Which we clearly don't. You guys listen to the podcast?
Perfect.
We're fine. We're doing this perfectly.
Our son just interrupted our whole podcast, and we are doing great.
I made him cry.
Oh, yeah, he did make him cry. Yeah, well, that was because we refused to give him medicine that he doesn't need.
Well, and it's also, I think, because we made fun of him. And
oh, yeah, you made fun of him.
I did. I mocked him.
Yeah, that was.
He's a sensitive boy. boy. That...
Oh, this is something I wanted to bring up on the podcast that you do wrong.
Oh, good, great. Well, just at the end, just something I do wrong. Let's go for it.
Is you...
you guys missed the whole section we recorded where I got criticized and it got deleted accidentally. So let's throw this in.
You made him upset earlier today when you came in and turned off the TV, and then he got upset. And that's like something you've done to me too, where you just decide like you want to go to bed or something, and then you just walk in, abruptly turn off the TV, say I need to go to bed, and you don't like. There's no like explanation or warning. It's just like so rude.
Well, you know what? When's the last time I did that to you? I learned that a couple weeks ago. No,
you just did it. This just happened.
I know what you're. I know what you're talking about. I was really cranky and tired, and I was in a terrible mood. And admittedly, I'm not defending myself. That's something separate. But today, we were trying to get him to go because the clean lady was coming. And it was that, it was literally, I walked in and it was the second the episode was ending. And I knew that if another one starts, it's going to be so much harder. So I quickly grabbed the remote and I turned it off. And he freaked out. And you walked in and saw that. And it looked like I was just like, all right, boom, let's get out of here. But it was me making a lightning fast decision because it was the best possible moment to turn it off.
Okay.
But I see your point. It's just wrong. That's all. All right. Great, Riley. So we would tell Bryn from the future, get off our back. You know what? You only get one shot. No do-overs.
That's not what my answer was. I said I would think about it.
This is my answer to him. I'd also be like, whoa, tell me about the time machine.
Okay. Well, don't answer for me because that's not what I said.
It's hard for me not to. But Bryn interrupting this episode has put me in my worst mode, which is I'm interrupting. I'm not
like,
listening.
I'm the interrupter.
It's also like, again, literally, I have to go pick up Maven right now. And this is the last 2 minutes we have to record this episode before we're gone for a week. And we get back. It's a shit show. It's a disaster. It's the worst.
Okay. All right. Thanks, everyone. This has been.
What is this? Would you knows? Thank you so much. This has been another episode of We Knows Parenting. If you'd like to write in to tell us how much you loved or hated this disastrous episode, you can send your questions, comments, stories, give us some advice. You can give us a Would You Knows Impossible Parenting hypothetical. You can email us at weknowspod@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 347-384-7396. You can find that phone number on our website, weknowsparenting.com, or any of our social media accounts, including Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Beth?
You can find me on Twitter at Beth New or Instagram at Beth Newell without the last E in it.
Yeah, find me. I'm there too. Probably just connected to Beth. And check out the Story Pirates podcast for all your family entertainment comedy needs. And until next time, oh gosh, we're going on vacation. We miss you already. Bye.